Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Football Focus Podcast, brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. We are already in week 5 of the football season, and things are heating up, getting wild in some cases, and a lot of exciting action. And we're in for another good week this week. It looks like we will jump right into our game of the week. We've got Cranston West visiting Hendricken on Friday at 7 o'clock in a Division 1 showdown that it could be interesting for both teams, I think.
Yeah, poor West at this point, though. It's brutal because they're 0-3. Hendricken's 3-0. And I think of the winless teams with these Providence, West, and Tolman. West is probably the best one of those three teams. But they've had Portsmouth, Barrington, and LaSalle as the first three games. Now they have Hendricken, who's played better than anybody in the state up to this point. And West is coming off just a terrible loss to LaSalle, where they lost 22-21 and gave up a touchdown with 28 seconds to go, and then a two-point conversion to beat them. That drive by LaSalle was aided by some West penalties. I mean,
after they had taken the lead.
Yeah, they had just taken the lead with a minute 40 left, I believe, in the game. So really, really a tough loss. And they've been close against LaSalle in the past and haven't been able to close it. And it kind of looked like this was going to be the time that they did it. And that game also would have given them a tiebreaker over LaSalle. Mm-hmm. Both teams would have been 1-2. West would have been kind of right back in the mix. Now it's an uphill battle. And obviously, it doesn't get any easier because they're taking on Hendricken, who has been dominant.
Yeah, Hendricken has been fantastic. As good as they could hope to be, I would think. I'm sure they have things they want to improve on. But in terms of results and the way they've played, they've been untouchable to this point. Blew out Tolman last week, 40-0. Three more touchdowns for Remington Blue. And just another great performance. And I'm pitching a shutout. I know Tolman has struggled, but a terrific performance by an improving defense. You got to think Hendricken is close to hitting on all cylinders at this point.
Yeah, they're the only team that hasn't had a close game.
Yeah.
And it might be in part to who they've played. Or it's in part to just the fact that they're playing so well. I mean, Barrington's 3-0, just like Hendricken, but had that one they had to win against East. That was really, really close. I mean, Hendricken has just beaten all the teams it's played on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
And initially, you and I talked a little bit about how the schedule kind of lined up for that sort of thing. They were probably going to have it easy for the first half and then kind of get into the meat of it during the second half. Well, as it turns out, they played South Kingstown in that opening game, beat them 36-14, and we thought, okay, it's South Kingstown, probably not a team that's going to contend. South Kingstown beat Portsmouth last week.
Yep.
And we thought Portsmouth might be the second-best team in the state through the first few weeks of the season. So all of a sudden, Hendricken's win over South Kingstown looks like a key win, a really good win, and a win over a team that is probably going to be fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah, it makes that win all the more impressive, and it makes their start all the more impressive. Right. It's not like they've just been beating teams that are struggling. They beat a really good South Kingstown team.
And they told us that.
Yeah.
They told us they were good, but I still don't know that we really
didn't buy into that quite yet. But you got to buy into South Kingstown now, who South Kingstown, by the way, sneaked up to fourth in the poll.
Eighth last week.
Yeah, just behind Hendricken, Barrington, and Cranston East. So the Rebels are a team to watch for sure. But sticking with Hendricken and West here, it's a matchup that's always interesting. West really doesn't like Hendricken. Rivalry in a lot of sports. Football, it's been lopsided recently. I don't know the last time West beat Hendricken on the football field. But West will be trying to kind of spring an upset. The things they can build on from that LaSalle game, as bad as it was, Raekwon Kosilowicz, number one on the list.
Yeah, he was great. He ran it 19 times for 207 yards, and a lot of the plays were big plays. I mean, very rarely was he stopped in the backfield or stopped short, but it seemed like, every two or three plays, all of a sudden he's running for 30 yards or running for 40 yards down the sidelines. Very, very quick. They like to get him in motion, either a jet sweep or a toss, and then he really flourishes in space. I mean, the line played well, but a lot of it was him juking players out and that sort of thing. And so he's kind of emerged as a weapon, and he's played well all year for them. I know Coach Steve Storr has been a big fan of his sort of since the beginning of the year, talking about how far he's come. But I think while Kosilowicz probably can establish something and the offense can move the ball a little bit, it still struggled last week. I mean, it struggled last week against LaSalle, which I think has a good D, but couldn't throw the ball through one of seven was Furtado, their quarterback, Steve Furtado, for 3 yards, I think, and he threw an interception. Mm. So not very good through the air. The line didn't give him a ton of time to throw. Jeremy King, their other quarterback, has a concussion. He might be back this week. We're not sure. That could give them a little boost in the throwing game. On the other hand, Furtado had two touchdown rushes last week, so who really knows what they'll do in that regard. But I don't know. I think the bigger question for West is how they come back mentally from losing last week. Are they, now they're 0-3 and woe is me and we should have won that game and kind of all hope is lost? Or are they, okay, we realize we can compete with a really good team in LaSalle. Let's take the next step and see what we can do against Hendricken.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something to watch. On the part of the Hawks, I think it's just about taking care of business, not looking ahead to some tough games coming up. Just, you know, take care of business again.
Which tough game is that?
Maybe against Cranston East that we're thinking?
Yeah, that's next week.
Yeah, so that'll be a big one. But this should be a fun one, too, on Friday at 7 o'clock at Hendricken. And we're going to take the Hawks in this one, 34-13. Moving on to a Division II matchup, we've got Warwick Vets visiting Cherahoe on Friday at 7 o'clock. And Vets coming off a big win, a huge win in terms of the playoffs picture. And they knocked off Coventry 28-27, won it on a two-point conversion that was kind of a crazy play. If you saw the highlight or if you were there, it was wild. Yeah. It was a wild play. But that play put Vets kind of in the driver's seat, at least when you're looking at tiebreakers down the road, anything like that. Vets is in a good spot after that win over Coventry.
Yeah, it always seems premature when we sit here in like week two talking about playoffs and whatnot. But I don't think it is. I mean, that was a big game for Vets in the playoff picture.
Yep.
To make the playoffs in Division II, there's teams you got to beat. And the teams that are in the middle are so tightly bunched together and so even that anytime you get a win over one of those teams, you get the tiebreaker and you get a leg up on them.
Yeah, everybody goes 4-3 at Division
II. Seems like it. Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, one 4-3 team seems to miss the playoffs every year and they lose out because of a tiebreaker.
Yep.
So these games are huge. And to win it by 1 point, which clearly indicates that the teams are even, you know, it is a really, really big step for a Vets team that hasn't won a lot of really close games, even in the last couple of years when they've started to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
So it shows a lot that they believe and that they were able to execute under pressure in a big moment at that game, albeit with kind of a strange play.
Mm-hmm.
But now they take on Cherahoe, who is one of those teams, like we just mentioned, that you kind of have to beat. All the teams that are going to make the playoffs are likely going to beat Cherahoe. Cherahoe's 0-3, hasn't been particularly impressive on either side of the ball. And Vets has a chance to be 3-1 here and be really a win away, regardless of who that win will come against, from putting itself in a great spot to maybe be in the playoffs already.
Yeah, absolutely. And from being around Vets earlier this week, they're talking like they're not gonna take Cherahoe lightly at all, and they know it took all they had to get past Coventry, and Cherahoe's not at that level, but still it's gonna take a good effort, a strong effort. You know, this is not a team that can go through the motions and blow people out. They're a team that has to play well, and I think they know that. Cherahoe has struggled a lot, especially on offense. They've scored 14 points in three league games, so that tells you something. And they got shut out by Coventry, so that if you're comparing scores, comparing the teams they played, it's been a struggle for the Chargers.
Yeah, and the defense hasn't been awful, but I mean, it hasn't, you know, they haven't been limiting teams to 10 points or 13 points. I mean, teams are scoring, 25, 28 points a game against them, which is okay in this league. So they're doing enough there, but I mean, if they can't score, they're not going to win any games. This is one. I mean, Vets has already beaten Tollgate. It's hopefully going to beat Cherahoe, and it's already beaten Coventry. That leaves Johnston, Mount Hope, and Westerly.
Yeah.
Takes two of those, it's definitely in. Takes one of those, it's probably in.
Yeah.
So, but you have to win this one first to get to that point.
Right. Kind of another step in the progression for Vets here. So we're going to take the Canes in this one 28-13. Friday night in Cranston, we've got East Providence visiting East. And the Bolts, a little off the map last week, had a week off after the loss to Barrington. And things got crazy while they were gone with South Kingstown's win over Portsmouth. So East will come back. They'll get to ease themselves in a little bit against East Providence. You figure the Townies have not won a game yet after struggling last year. But head coach Tom Centauri says that East Providence is much improved and that they will have a shot. You know, and East is going to have to come out and play a good game to get back on track here.
I think that's probably just coach speak a little
potentially,
bit more than anything else. Maybe East Providence probably is slightly improved, but I mean, if East plays fairly well, though, they should win comfortably, I think, just kind of based on what we've seen from East Providence score-wise and the way they played last year and what we know about East. But kind of like we just mentioned with West against Hendricken, I mean, East probably isn't going to lose this game, but is it going to be, you know, ready to play and happy to be back out there and just kind of ready to put that Barrington loss in the past because it was such a tough loss in the game they really thought they should have won? And will they kind of make the improvements that they clearly need to make after that Barrington game? Will they have a kind of a stronger defense, a tougher defense, one that can stand up against the run, which is predominantly what East Providence will be doing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think those are more key to look at rather than the final score for this one.
Yeah, and East is expecting to get some guys back who've been out on that defensive side of the ball who should help the cause. You can look for them to do a few things differently as far as schemes and what they're kind of playing to their strengths a little bit. From that perspective, it'll be a good chance to see how East does against a running team, a team that can pound the ball a little bit. But like you said, the Townies are most likely not going to pose the threat that a lot of other teams would that East is going to be facing down the line. One thing to note about East Providence, they are 0-4, and they have faced all undefeated teams.
That's a tough draw.
It's a tough draw. Woonsocket, Mount Pleasant, Hendricken, and Barrington. So they will be no strangers to facing a good team, but at the same time, they haven't faced anything like East's offense.
No, and it's hard to prepare for. It's hard to simulate. You can't simulate what East does when you don't have players as good as the ones that East is putting out there. So all they have to do is watch that Barrington game to see how dynamic East offense is. And, you know, they'll do what they can against it, but it's really hard to envision a scenario in which East doesn't come out and put up the kind of points it's been putting up this season. But I think they want to be clicking. I think they want to really put that Barrington game in the past. They want to challenge themselves, test themselves. And, you know, I think we're going to see that, you know, that 45 sort of number from their offense. Will we see the 0 on defense or the 7 on defense? That, I think, will be the more important takeaway. They're going to be scoring points no matter what.
And we are going to take the Bolts in this one by a 47-20 score. Up in Johnston Friday night, Coventry coming to town in a Division II game. Battle between a pair of 2-1 teams. We just talked about Coventry going against Vets. Johnston, meanwhile, had lost to Woonsocket in their league opener. They have not lost since. They've definitely been back on track with a big win over Mount Hope, and then they beat Tollgate last week. So this is a game that I think will kind of tell us a lot about Johnston because of the things that happened last year when Johnston played Coventry. And Johnston was dynamic last year, one of the best teams in Division II, and Coventry was perhaps the toughest game they had in the regular season. If this Johnston team is going to contend, they're going to need to beat a tough Coventry team again.
Yeah, it's one of those in-between games like Vets Coventry was last week. Johnston Coventry both 2-1, trying to get the leg up. And as good as Johnston's been the last 2 weeks, we still don't know exactly what their identity is. They've only played maybe one team that's going to contend in Woonsocket. We're still not sure about Mount Hope either. And Johnston lost that game to Woonsocket. Mm-hmm. So this is their best chance to really make a statement and get out there and prove that they're, you know, a top one or two team in their division. I mean, Coventry is a play away from being 3-0. If Vets doesn't convert that crazy 2-point conversion last week, Coventry's 3-0 and tied with Woonsocket and, you know, having its sights set on the playoffs already at this point in the season. So I think people are taking Coventry lightly because their two wins are Tollgate and Charahoe, and their loss is a Vets team that still really doesn't seem to get the credit it deserves. So people are sleeping on them. For instance, Coventry's not even in the poll this week. At 2-1 in Division II, they're not in the poll, while West Warwick, St. Ray's, they're both 1-2. They're in the poll. Mount Hope's 2-1. But you know what I mean. They're not quite getting the love that I think they probably deserve. So it's a big game for both teams. Big game to get a little separation and a little respect.
Yeah, Coventry is a very physical team, according to Mike Napa, who saw them last week with Vets, and they've always been a strong running team, and they have a lot of quick backs and Mike Nolan, Darnell Fenwick. They can also throw the ball a little bit this year with Joe Foley. So they have a little more of a dynamic offense than they've had in the past couple of years, and Johnston is going to have to step up and stop that. And against Woonsocket, they gave up some big plays in the passing game, so that's something to watch for sure.
Yeah, that's the only team they've played so far this year that's kind of has that run-throw combination. Yeah. I mean, Tollgate doesn't have it too much, and Mount Hope didn't have it after their quarterback went down.
Right.
So, yeah, this will be the first time they've seen a good passer and some good runners, you know, on the same team since week one. So yeah, I mean it's a test. We'll know much more about Division II and about these two teams in particular after this game's over.
Yeah, for sure. We'll take the Panthers in a close one, 30-20. Saturday morning, Westerly visiting Tollgate at 10 a.m. Westerly played pretty tough against Woonsocket last week, undefeated Woonsocket, 12-7 loss. Westerly is 1-2 in Division II. Tollgate, meanwhile, still kind of struggling, 0-3, tough one against Johnston. Maybe some steps in the right direction, but still, it's baby steps at this point. It's just it's a tough year for the Titans.
That really would have screwed things up if Westerly had beaten Woonsocket last week. Then I just have no idea who's good. But Woonsocket did hang on 12-7, but still a tough game. So maybe Westerly is another team that is pretty good and can throw its name into the mix there in the middle. Again, kind of hard to know, but playing Woonsocket to that score indicates mm-hmm. that they're tough and they're probably physical and they're a run-based team like they always are. Whereas Tollgate is searching, like you said, they're still trying to figure it out. They're not finishing drives. I think that's a big thing, because they have had a few opportunities in each of the games they've played. And while those games have gotten away from them late, all the opportunities that Tollgate have come early on, and you can really change the tone of a game when it's 7-7 instead of being 14-0 mm-hmm. all of a sudden. And I think they haven't really done that at all. So if they can convert their opportunities, they'll hang in the game longer. I don't know if that means they're going to win a game, but it means it's not going to be 30-0 at halftime and all of a sudden you're out of the game.
Yeah.
So in order for them to kind of extend the game, they got to score early and score when they have the opportunities. They're not going to get 10 red zone trips.
Right.
But they've yet to do that in three league games.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, a good start for Tollgate would be key. Just having a good drive, finishing a drive, maybe getting a lead. And then you don't know how they're going to play after that, because they haven't been in that situation. Maybe that's what they need. Maybe they really turn it on and they play some really good football after that. Until they do that, it's tough to imagine them being in games, because they continually find themselves behind the eight ball.
And we want to pick Tollgate.
We do.
We just can't bring ourselves to it at this point.
Yeah, it's not going to happen this week, at least. We've got Westerly winning 24-13. Our final game to talk about, another Division II game, Pilgrim hosting West Warwick on Friday at 7 o'clock. Pilgrim, they were up 8-0 on Central last week at halftime. Almost a 2-touchdown lead if they had scored right before the half. And then they just lost it in the second half. Central went up 28-8, and that was the final. It was a tough one for Pilgrim. I think it was one they thought they could get, one that maybe turns their season around a little bit. Instead, 0-3. And just kind of looking for positives at this point.
So what happened in that second half? I mean, 8-0 at halftime, they have to be feeling good, because they haven't had a halftime lead against a Division II opponent in a long time.
Nope. Well, I think Central didn't play its best in the first half at all. A lot of dropped passes, some runs that were just blown up. So first thing is Central played better. And the second thing is Pilgrim, as hard as they're playing and as improved as they are, they still don't have a lot of depth. They had some injuries, so they got worn down. They're not big. They're not big up front. They got guys going 170, 180 on the defensive front. Central has some big kids, so that happened. And then just tough plays that Pilgrim has kind of become accustomed to. It was 8-8. Pilgrim forced a punt, fumbled on the first play of the next drive on a blitz. The guy was almost intercepting the handoff, and Central went and scored. And after that, it was tough. So, yeah, it's just another one of those games. I think it was as good as Pilgrim has played in a half in a long time. It's just about getting that second half.
Well, I wonder if it's because they haven't done it in so long that they play that half, they're leading 8-0, and now they're in unfamiliar territory when they take the field. They're not used to holding a lead. They're not used to extending a lead. They're not probably used to the nerves that come with looking up at the clock and seeing themselves having a lead. So that probably has something to do with it. And then you have breakdowns where somebody runs through the line like that and causes a fumble. I mean, that's the sort of stuff that happened last year, where you're turning the ball over relentlessly. And you wonder if there's a little unfamiliarity that brings that about.
And a here we go again kind of moment when those bad things happen. West Warwick coming to town. We thought they were going to be one of the best teams in Division II. I think I might have had them number one or number two among D2 teams when the season started. And then they plummeted. They didn't win a game.
Until
the first few weeks, until they beat Shea last week, and Shea beat Pilgrim 28-0, and was kind of climbing up the pole. Everyone really likes Shea, but West Warwick saying, "Hold on, we are who you thought we were."
Just more confusion.
Yes, more confusion.
I don't understand anything.
Yes,
going on.
But West Warwick, I think they're a pretty talented team. A lot of guys back from a good team last year, playoff team last year. So it's going to be a tough one for Pilgrim, I think.
Yeah, and Pilgrim has become one of those circle games that you got to get if you're trying to make the playoffs. Yeah. So that's in the back of West Warwick's mind for sure. This is a game they have to win.
So we've got the Wizards winning their second straight 27-7 over Pilgrim. And we'll talk about a game around the state. We've got South Kingstown visiting LaSalle on Friday night, and suddenly a very interesting game thanks to the Rebels' victory over Portsmouth last week.
Yeah, South Kingstown loses to Portsmouth last week, and we are not talking about this game right now. We're just thinking LaSalle is going to run right by him. But as it is now, South Kingstown's fourth in the poll and LaSalle's sixth. Wouldn't have seen that coming. Mm-hmm. And LaSalle's coming off a win, and they dropped a spot in the poll. But South Kingstown's win over Portsmouth, I think, was so impressive to a lot of people, the two of us included, that we had to jump them. And we couldn't put LaSalle ahead of Portsmouth because Portsmouth blew out LaSalle.
Yes.
So if you're looking at common opponents at this point, South Kingstown beat Portsmouth. Portsmouth beat LaSalle by 28 points.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something there. Obviously, it doesn't always add up quite like that. But South Kingstown's proving, or has proven at least in one game, that it can play with some of the big boys.
Yep.
Whereas LaSalle, really on the verge of being 1-2 with that Cranston West game.
Right.
I mean, they would be the seventh Division I team in the poll if they had lost, because West would have had to jump them at that point, and they really should have lost.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that jumps out about LaSalle, they struggle to throw the ball a little bit. Keon Wilson's good, and he's a good receiver, but their quarterback is young. He's a sophomore, and I think he's still trying to get his feet under him a little bit. They do have a good running back. Dontre, I'm not going to even try the last name because I'm going to fail, but he's a big, bruising kid who carried the ball 30 times against West. And in a high school game, you don't see a lot of guys touch the ball 30 times.
Yeah.
So he really is kind of their offense and a tough, tough guy to bring down. So I think Sound has sort of a physical reputation. Can they stand up to 30 times this guy just pounding him up the middle?
Yeah, we'll see if they can make it two big wins in a row. That game is at LaSalle on Friday night. And then a couple of interesting ones in D2, Woonsocket, Mount Hope, which if Mount Hope hadn't lost to Johnston, might have been a battle of undefeated teams, but that's water under the bridge.
Yeah.
Cumberland and NK on the other side, Shea and Rogers on the other side of the division. All interesting matchups. This time next week, Division II is going to look a little clearer, I hope.
I think. I don't
Maybe.
Know. Might not have all.
We'll see. We'll see about that. But that's going to do it for us here on the podcast, brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you next week. The heart is a blue.